This is Jordan Seculo. Abortion is celebrated by Ohio's largest abortion clinic. And by the way, Planned Parenthood celebrating too, that abortion is a sacred blessing.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
And welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. You will not believe this. Heading into domestic issues and, of course, the fight against the abortion giant, the abortion industry, including Planned Parenthood, and this time the largest abortion clinic in Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio, which has launched an advertising campaign. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, you can see one of the billboards they've already put up in Cleveland that says, get this, how sickening is this? Abortion is good medicine. How about abortion is necessary? Think about that. Abortion is right for me. They get worse. Abortion is a parenting decision. Parenting. You mean not to be a parent, to kill your child. Abortion is liberty, except for that child in the womb who will have no liberty and their liberty taken away. Abortion is normal. That's what they want this to become. But we know it's not normal, and we know the effects of it are not normal. Abortion is a family value. Except for you're destroying the family. That child in the womb will never have a chance at having a father or a mother or brothers and sisters or aunts and uncles and grandparents. They'll never have that family experience. They're destroying families. But this is even when it gets to that, you know, they worship at the altar of abortion. I know it sounds strong. Abortion is a blessing. Abortion is sacred. Abortion is safer than childbirth. I mean, think about that. Abortion as a sacred blessing. Now, this is a campaign put forward by the largest abortion clinic in Ohio. It's in Cleveland. But Planned Parenthood is endorsing this campaign. So you see how these abortion giants all work together. They're tweeting it out, sending the messages out about this. My wife actually saw this in the news as we were traveling back last week. You knew I was out of the studio last week. We had just got home, and she'd see this story as we were in the car on the way back and said, I can't believe this. I want to write something about it. So we've got a blog up from Anna at aclj.org, which, so if you're not watching the show on Facebook and Periscope, you can see the imagery, you can see Planned Parenthood's tweets about it, and our response. It is outrageous, folks, and get this. By the way, the government is now the single largest funding source of Planned Parenthood. That's in a new report out today. We'll get into that as well at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. Share this broadcast with your friends and family because you're going to find out a lot of information here about the funding to Planned Parenthood, about how the abortion industry is kind of trying to be on the offensive in the language and how we're combating it at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've had a victory in the federal circuit courts just recently on this very issue of forced speech. We'll talk about that as well. So we're fighting for life. Logan, people can get involved in the show, obviously, by calling 1-800-684-3110. They can also get involved through Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today on the air. You can also log in on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySeculo, Twitter at Jordan Seculo today, and Periscope as well. You can find us broadcasting on all those outlets and on aclj.org, where you can not only hear us, but see us and get your comments in. Again, it's 1-800-684-3110, and the phone lines are lighting up, and this topic, I assume, is the reason.
Folks, again, I want to get your calls on this, your thoughts on this, and including in this, of course, the fact that the government is now the single largest funding source of Planned Parenthood revenue. Quoting Planned Parenthood, government health services reimbursements and grants constituted the largest source of funding for Planned Parenthood in 2016-2017, providing 37% of the organization's revenue. You know how much that was? $543.7 million. More than half a billion dollars of our money going to Planned Parenthood, and they believe abortion is a sacred blessing. Your thoughts? 1-800-684-3110. Check that blog out by Anna. It's up at aclj.org on our Facebook pages and twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Share this broadcast with your friends and family and continue to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. We appreciate your support, your financial contributions. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So there is a campaign launched by the largest abortion clinic in Ohio. It's in Cleveland, Ohio. The name of the abortion clinic, Preterm. How rich is that? Preterm. Unfortunately, in 2014, a woman died at this clinic after a botched abortion procedure. But that hasn't stopped the abortion provider and clinic, the largest in the state of Ohio, a big state, from launching an advertising campaign through myabortionmylife.org. So it goes through, and it's ads, and these are billboards, by the way. We've got them for you in the blog by my wife, Anna, up at aclj.org. We're showing to our Facebook and Periscope audience, so share this with your friends and family now. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button. It's things like abortion is necessary, abortion is right for me, abortion is a parenting decision, but then, you know, I think, you know, it goes from the kind of political talking points that I would call those of the pro-abortion movement, that they're kind of what we expect. Abortion is liberty. Not liberty for that unborn child in the womb. Certainly not. It's taking away their right to life, which is constitutionally protected by our, again, our founding documents. I mean, again, when you think of the Declaration of Independence, you think about the right to life. That's being taken away. Abortion being a family value. How absurd is that when you're taking away that child's right to even have the family experience? But then it gets into the religious language, sacred. Abortion's sacred. And that it is also not only just sacred, but good medicine. Good medicine, yeah. Doctors, I thought, took a Hippocratic oath to save lives, not end lives for money. You realize these abortionists kill for dollars. They kill for money. Doesn't seem like that's good medicine based off the Hippocratic oath they take. And then even more discussion is that abortion is a blessing. So we've got a blog up about this at aclj.org and a case, a couple case updates. So we're getting active here. We've got a major pro-life appellate court victory in the Fourth Circuit. The Fourth Circuit says that a city cannot force pro-abortion speech. For years, the free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers have been under vigorous attack, with the aid and support of groups like NARAL, Pro-Choice America. State and local governments have been imposing on pro-life centers, a requirement that they post a notice saying either that they do not offer abortions or that the government will pay for eligible women to have an abortion. So they're gonna force pro-life centers to post that message. New York City tried to compel pro-life centers to post a notice. We fought back and succeeded in having it struck down on First Amendment grounds. California and Hawaii have passed laws requiring that these pro-life centers inform their clients that they may be eligible for a free abortion. The ACLJ has filed lawsuits against those states, and we filed a cert petition with the Supreme Court in the California case. And last November, the court agreed to hear the companion case at the Supreme Court. So that filing deadline on the SCOTUS brief, the Supreme Court brief, is next week in the Crisis Pregnancy Center case or Pro-Life Pregnancy Center case. But we had an important victory out of Baltimore in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. In 2009, Baltimore passed an ordinance requiring a limited service pregnancy center. That's what they call pro-life pregnancy centers. Oh, they don't do enough because they don't kill the babies. Okay, that's why they call them that. By the way, all those health clinics that Planned Parenthood runs that don't actually have mammogram machines, do they call them limited health services clinics, I wonder? But anyways, they wanted them to all post a disclaimer in their waiting rooms notifying clients that they do not provide or make referral for abortion or birth control services. They crafted the definition of an LSPC, a pregnancy center that does not provide or refer for abortions. That's all you had to be to not qualify. You don't kill babies, so you must be this very targeted. And the Fourth Circuit decision agreed with our position. Quote, a speech edict aimed directly at those pregnancy clinics that do not provide or refer for abortions is neither viewpoint nor content neutral, especially in this context. Content-based regulation raises the specter that the government may effectively drive certain ideas or viewpoints from the marketplace. We do not begrudge the city its viewpoint, but neither may the city disfavor only those who disagree. That's also what's at issue at the case at the United States Supreme Court. So I want to take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. We've got action items with the Supreme Court brief being filed very soon. Next week is the deadline for that brief in the Pro-Life Pregnancy Center case. And give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, lots of comments are coming in and a lot of statements coming in. A lot of people say the billboards are just plain wrong, plain and simple, regardless of which side of the issue you're on. Because this isn't one of those topics where a lot of people will say, you know, we're not necessarily, we're pro-choice, but you know, it's something that no one celebrates, no one is excited about, no one likes abortion. Because at the end of the day, science has gotten to the point where you know what you're doing. It's not like, this is not a hard decision for people, though we believe it's a wrong decision. What this is doing is flipping that and saying, no. This is the best option. Abortion is the best option. It is necessary. It is, you know, it is exactly is for me. It is a blessing. It is sacred. This is where it becomes, you know, almost, you know, demonic is a weird word to use, but it does become that where we're not only tolerating it, which look, if you're on the other side of the issue on this, it's hard sometimes to see it, but I can be, okay, I understand where you have a legal conundrum in your head, whether this should be legal or not, even if you have a personal problem with it. When you start celebrating it is where things turn, and we're getting a lot of comments coming in, a lot of stories specifically coming in. We're going to take some of those. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go to Kirk in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the air. Kirk, thanks for calling.
Hey, Kirk.
Oh, thanks for all you do, my friend. How are you today?
We're good.
I just want to say, you know, thank you and let you know that I actually spoke at a rally for HB 938, which was a bill to abolish abortion in Texas. Unfortunately, it never made it out of committee, but I just wanted to, you know, touch briefly about our story with you. And 16 years ago, my wife was pregnant with our son. She became very sick, lost 42 pounds in 1 month. She was hospitalized most of that time. Eventually, the doctor said there's nothing else he could do. If we didn't terminate the pregnancy, she would die. Unfortunately, we took his advice, got it all set up, went to the abortion center the day of the procedure, and just before we were about to sign the death certificate to our son, God intervened. My wife looked at me and said, out.
Yeah, I think we lost you, but I, your story is one that we hear often. And first of all, you see, you walk into that clinic, the only option there is death. They're not trying to talk you out of it. You had your doctor. He may have been trying to give medical opinion. Look, and that's the kind of choice that even pro-life legislation allows people to make, is when you've got a decision where the life of the mother is at risk, it is a decision for the couple to decide whether to move forward with the pregnancy, risking the mother's life to have the child. And that's a decision that should be made by the parents, not by the government. And that's why there's always that exception in pro-life legislation. No one is saying in that kind of life or death situation, which are rare, that you as the person should not be able to make the decision. It's why the procedure, which is so gruesome itself, abortion, exists for those limited circumstances where the mother's life really is at risk. Not health. We're not talking about health exceptions. We're talking about mother's actual life. She could die. And so because of that chance, you talk to your doctor and then you make the decision. But many people make the decision, and it's up to them to move forward with the pregnancy, and they have a healthy child, and the wife does survive, because science isn't perfect. Miracles do happen. Medicine is not perfect either. But again, what it goes back to for me, Than, is for everybody out there who thinks that even the abortionist who try to say sometimes, it's not that we love the procedure or that we celebrate the procedure or what happens. It's that we believe it's a necessary option that women must have. That doesn't coalesce with abortion is a blessing and abortion is sacred and abortion is a family value, which is the ad campaign they're running in Ohio.
Right. And the evidence that what you're saying is true, Jordan, translates into their policy positions. I would just give you two examples. You had the caller, Kirk, talking about his experience going into a clinic. The abortion industry, Jordan, opposes giving his wife or any woman that seeks an abortion access to a free ultrasound, which is just more information to make a choice about the invasive procedure that they are going to undergo. They oppose that. The other thing, Jordan, and you'll see this next week in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives is going to vote on a bill called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And it says if a woman goes in for abortion and the procedure fails or the baby is born during the process, then that baby who is living on the table is entitled to the rights of medical care, just like any other human being would be laying on that table. Jordan, the abortion industry is out in force against that bill today. So you talk about it being a religion. We're not talking about a belief in just access to a procedure, even though I have a difference of opinion on that. We are talking about an extreme position that is abortion on demand. And then, Jordan, in the event of a failed abortion and a living human being on the table, denying that baby medical care. That's how extreme it's gotten.
As our producer Will pointed out, it used to be that the pro-choice, pro-abortion community would say that they only support safe, legal, and rare. That they wanted abortions to be rare, but safe and legal when they had to occur. Now, if you look at this ad campaign, the abortion industry, because this is an ad campaign run by Ohio's largest abortion clinic, but Planned Parenthood is tweeting all of this out, so they're endorsing this whole campaign. Now they're saying, the abortion industry, that abortion is safer than childbirth, normal and necessary. That's a lot different than safe, legal, and rare. Safer than childbirth, normal and necessary. You see, we've got a big fight when it comes to life. We're in the Supreme Court on this. They want to force these pro-life pregnancy centers to post pro-abortion methods and even refer people to abortions and where to get them. In these states, we've won it at the Fourth Circuit. Now it's at the U.S. Supreme Court. We need your support on this. Go to ACLJ.org. Learn about this issue. If you're listening to us, it's all in the new blog at ACLJ.org by Anna. Abortion is not a sacred blessing. You'll see it right on the homepage. And support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button now. We do have no phone lines open right now, but just click share. We want to bring people into this conversation. There is the largest abortion clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, is running a new billboard campaign. The first message that went up is that, quote, abortion is a blessing. And here's how the abortion industry explains why their billboard campaign, I mean, listen, they're doing well financially, these abortion clinics. Why do they need to do it? And they say, because abortion is a normal and necessary part of people's lives. Normal and necessary. That's a lot different than safe, legal, and rare. Now it's normal and necessary, just like even more so than going to the dentist, because, again, or just having a normal checkup once a year with your doctor. It's normal. It's necessary. I guess it's like a haircut to them. Think about that for a moment. How ironically sick and twisted. I mean, when you're talking about abortion, you're talking about taking an unborn child's life and saying that's a necessary part of life to do that, to take an unborn child's life, ending life. Here's some of the other messages that are going to be going up. There's 16 in total. Here's some that are already planning to be up around Cleveland, Ohio. And Planned Parenthood nationally, by the way, is sending all of this out. So they're putting all of this out for this abortion clinic, Ohio. Abortion is a blessing. Abortion is sacred. Okay, let's start right there. We often say at the ACLJ that the abortion industry and these clinics and abortionists worship at an altar of abortion, that abortion to them is a religion. It is not like lobbying for a corporate interest or an oil company. They actually worship the procedure and the ending of the child's life. They worship abortion. And this is the living proof of that, because the language that they use about abortion is religious. Abortion is a blessing. Abortion is sacred. Abortion is hope. Abortion is a family value. Think about that one for a moment. You're ending the chance at a family for that child in the womb. They won't experience mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, or aunts and uncles, or even other brothers and sisters. Abortion is liberty. You mean we can just willy-nilly kill off those children we don't want, so we stay, have that liberty, but that child has none. They have no decision to make here. Abortion is health care. Now, there's only a limited, tiny percent of circumstances, as that caller mentioned, where there could be because I always want to be fair in these discussions, so that the abortion industry can't say, well, you didn't mention this. The only time it's a health care matter is when a real doctor, who OBGYN, is working with a couple having a child, and there's a complication arises, and the mother's life, not health, not, oh, she may not feel good, or mentally this is causing trouble, she's not sleeping great. We're talking about life is in danger. She may die, and they do, you know, a kind of risk analysis if she goes ahead with having this child and moves forward with the pregnancy. That is why the procedure itself exists, and it's why even all pro-life laws allow for an exception to be made there. It's a horrible decision that anyone would ever have to make, the worst. But that's why the procedure even exists. It's a horrible procedure that exists for that purpose, that if the woman's life really is in danger, and that you're getting that from a real doctor, you get to then make the decision as a couple. But then, of course, they go a step further that abortion's good medicine, except for doctors take a Hippocratic oath to protect and save lives. These abortionists, who are technically doctors, are getting paid only to do one thing, take life, take an end and kill. And they make money off of doing that. I want to go to the phone calls, Logan, 1-800-684-3110. I just think that when Planned Parenthood tries and these pro-abortion groups try to go on the offensive, we've got to push back fast.
Let's go to Sarah in Ohio on line 6. Sarah, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Sarah.
Yes. I'm calling because I want to really encourage the listeners in Ohio to give generously to the pro-life centers who are trying to reach women who are abortion-minded.
Well, I think that it's exactly right, Sarah. I mean, you're in Ohio. I don't know what part of Ohio, and you don't have to say that on the air. This is specifically happening in Cleveland. It's the largest clinic in Ohio, so I have a feeling because of that it has a reach outside of just the Cleveland area. Because the abortion industry has had faced more regulations now, some of the smaller clinics and the shoddy clinics have shut down. This is one of the large ones. And even one of the largest ones here, and it's called, by the way, disgustingly preterm. It's just disgusting that they called it clinic. Someone died there. A woman died at this clinic.
Our producer just sent me a statement from their website. Preterm says, preterm touts being a green business, stating that we work in a way that is healthier and reduces our impact on our planet.
Yeah, so what do they do with those fetuses, I wonder? That they love to call fetuses, we call babies. I guess they sell them off, right? We're not making extra money. They sell them to the body parts people, which is getting more attention in the news lately, thankfully as well, because there's people going to jail for illegally selling these body parts, not just children, but also adult as well.
All right, should we take another call?
Yeah.
Let's go to Roger in Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air, Roger, on line 5.
How we doing?
Good, Roger. Go ahead with your comment.
I think it's interesting that we always seem to sometimes shy away from who really places value on life in the womb, which is God. And in my discussions, I found that people who don't have a strong view of God have sometimes a lower view of value of life. And we have to always remember this is where it comes from. And I think the other thing we need to do is we really need to continue and work on better educating people on the exact procedures and processes that happen to these child and ask ourselves, what would we do if this was happening to a live human being right in front of us?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if this was happening to a live human being, the person who did it would go to jail for life and in some states face the death penalty. That's exactly what would happen, regardless of the age of that human being. If they were intentionally killing them, dismembering them, which is in many cases here, a child or an adult for that matter, they would be going to jail for intentional murder. Intentional homicide carries the harshest penalties, either life in prison or, depending on where you live, death. And so, by the way, you know, if you're in a car wreck or in you're intoxicated, and in many states, if you are in that wreck and a pregnant woman is in the wreck and she passes away or the baby she is carrying passes away, you can be charged with murder.
Or double murder
in that case, because you're committing a crime. It's not an accident by the DUI. So you are committing homicide, but it's double homicide. So you see, the law doesn't even make sense on this. The law will punish people who are not abortionists for taking the life in the womb. And yet the law also protects the abortionist from intentionally taking the life in the womb. And they call that choice, and that's okay. Even though, we still do believe it's a life that's worth getting the, you know, prison term for in the situation. I mean, the law has never made sense. That's why Roe versus Wade is bad law. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, walk through the numbers again through Planned Parenthood. Their budget has gone up. Their single largest funder of Planned Parenthood is now the government, and their services outside of abortion have gone down.
Really, the evidence of everything you're saying, Jordan, can be found in their own numbers. I'm holding in my hands their report. So they report that they get almost $544 million from the U.S. taxpayers, have almost $1.5 billion in revenue. And, Jordan, I'll just give you two more numbers. 321,384 abortions, that is every single life snuffed out by one of those procedures. Jordan, they report 7,762 prenatal services, and we know from previous reports that that means they serviced about 1,300 prenatal clients. So, Jordan, just over 1,000 prenatal clients, more than 321,000 abortions. You tell me what their business model is rooted in. They don't provide prenatal care. Those are footnotes in their reports.
Folks, we've got a second half hour coming up. Continue to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot more information to get into. There are cases on this as well we'll get into. Logan, tell people how to get involved.
That's right. ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. We have a whole other half hour if your station doesn't carry it. Be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we have picked up on this new campaign by an abortion clinic in Ohio called Disgustingly Preterm, myabortionmylife.org. They've got an advertising campaign. They're the biggest abortion clinic in Ohio. They're based in Cleveland. We've got some samples up for our Facebook and Periscope audience. In the blog, my wife Anna actually saw this first in the news, and so she wrote a blog about this. Again, I think that it started with, abortion is necessary. Abortion is gender equality. Abortion is right for me. That's kind of like the typical abortion talking points. I'm kind of used to those. Abortion is a parenting decision. Really? You're just deciding not to be a parent. I mean, these are those kind of statements like saying abortion is hope, life-saving. The only time it's life-saving is when the mother's life is at risk. And by the way, those kind of abortions ain't happening at these clinics. Those are happening usually at hospitals under very specific care after a long thought process by a husband and wife about whether to proceed with a very risky pregnancy that would potentially, in the mother's life, that's a choice for the couple. That's why the procedure itself exists. Abortion is normal. It's a lot different than what they used to say that should be rare. Now it's normal. But then they get into all the religiosity. And this is when we talk about that these abortionists and their clinics and the pro-abortion community and their activists and the abortionists themselves worship abortion. They have an altar to abortion. And their faith is abortion because of the terminology they use. You're not going to see like a normal doctor running signs about any procedures, even good procedures. They do their job to try and save lives. They're not out there as activists. These read more like something like Jesus is hope, or Jesus is a blessing, or faith is a blessing, or the community, the YMCA that just opened up is a blessing to the community. No, they say abortion is a family value, so that gets into religiosity a little bit. But even more so, doubling down, abortion is a blessing. Abortion is sacred. That's going to be one of the billboards. Abortion is safer than childbirth, and abortion is good medicine. But I want to get to that religiosity. I think that's very important that we pick up on, because the religious words, I think, are very important. One, abortion's not a blessing for a baby who never gets to live, and it's certainly not a blessing for a mother to end the life of the baby growing inside her. She may think so at the time, but she'll never hear that heartbeat again. And so you have to wonder, is this campaign really an attempt not just to persuade people who are not thinking about having abortions, but in fact, people who are having abortions and the abortionists themselves? Because we've seen those people from those clinics who have left and said it's disgusting. We've seen abortionists quit their jobs. Because is it kind of an attempt to give people a false sense of hope that they will not feel guilt because of this decision for decades to come? Because we have had hundreds, if not thousands, of radio callers say, even when they were minors and had these abortions, they cannot get it out of their mind that it has wrecked them throughout their life, that they have gotten forgiveness by Christ, but they still can't stop thinking about what that child would be. And again, I think that when it goes to ultimately the idea that they all want to feel like what they're doing is okay, like the abortionist, maybe, I don't even know if they have a heart really left anymore when they're doing these procedures, but by calling it sacred, it's like trying to make that woman who's having the abortion feel like what they're doing is okay, that taking the life of their child is an okay thing to do, and it's good for family values. It's sickening, but folks, the pro-abortion industry, they're on the attack. I mean, Than, that we're now at the Supreme Court of the United States, we wanted the Fourth Circuit, trying to force pro-life pregnancy centers to put up messages to say, you can't get abortions here, here's where you can get an abortion.
And Jordan, I would tell you, it's impossible to walk down the street here in Washington, D.C., whether it's to the Supreme Court or to the House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate, without running into activists and volunteers from Planned Parenthood. So this is a calculated strategy on their part to advance their agenda. But guess what, Jordan? We're going to meet them there on the streets, and we're going to meet them there in the halls of Congress and at the Supreme Court.
And you have to call them out for this absurdity. We're grateful that we have this broadcast because of your support of the ACLJ. So we can do just that. Spend this time calling out the absurdity of the abortion industry. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Yeah, during our break, we played a part of a documentary that we provided to donors and people who donated that they could watch online. They'd have a code. It's called Choosing Life.
Yep.
Many people still are getting this code, right, in the email when they donate?
There's one more recently. It's Abortion Inc., which is the latest film we did. We just did it mid-last year. And it is, you can go to aclj.org. If you go there, click videos, and you'll see a tab for ACLJ Films, and there's a lot of steps. And you can set it, if you make a tax-deductible gift, you'll be sent a code to where you can watch the film stuff.
So, I think that it's got a lot of women who are brave enough to go and tell their stories about what it was like in these abortion clinics. And they even talk about the physicality, the roughness they are, and after the fact, what they were doing. And if they saw someone like them in their condition post-abortion, they probably would have walked out of the door. But see, there's two doors in abortion clinics, one for people going in and then one for people going out, and they don't see each other. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's take some more calls.
All right, let's go to Laura, who's calling in Tempe, Arizona, on line two.
Hey, Laura.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Okay. Hi. I've unfortunately had three abortions. And no woman I've ever talked to has been proud of that. My first one was when I was 16 years old, and they took me to California because in Arizona it wasn't legal. And the Planned Parenthood in California told me that it wasn't going to be any problem. I would forget about it quickly. And that wasn't the case. I'm 61 years old now. I haven't forgotten. And I believe that God wants me to stand up for people that are pro-life.
Well, killing. Go ahead, Laura.
Wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, Laura, you are exactly what we're talking about with who they are trying to target with these ads. They don't want the abortion industry, Laura, to hear people like you. Because I want you to tell people again, what age were you when you had these abortions, and your age now, because you did offer that. I wouldn't usually ask a woman her age, but you did offer that. And the fact that this is still really kind of haunting you and on your mind today. Tell people that again, because it wasn't 5 years ago.
No, I was 16. That was my first time. I was 20, and I was 22.
And now
I'm 61 now.
And it's still, you feel the pain. And Laura, you know you're forgiven. I applaud you for being brave to join us on the air, because I think the calls from individuals like you, I mean, you were living in that time period where, one, your parents were forcing it on you, two, the abortion industry was running rampant without any regulation after Roe versus Wade, and basically telling people exactly that. No big deal, just like any other little medical procedure, in, you're out, won't matter. And what they forgot was the mental effect and the psychological effect that people are going to think later in life, what if I had had that child? And I mean, that's not just so as calmly as I said it, but seriously, what if I had had those three children, that family? And what would my life be like? What would their lives be like? But yet I took their lives because I was, in Laura's case, forced into it. You are forgiven by God. And I think sharing your story is the exact opposite of what these ads are trying to do, which is tell people that it's a blessing to go and have an abortion, and that it's sacred, and that it's safer than other medical procedures. And it's part of family values. You are the contrast to that, Laura. So keep up your work supporting those who are pro-life. Back to the phones we go.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Jackie on line 6. You're on the air.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I also had abortions. I had more than one myself, and I had one at 17, but I never forgot it either. And I still think about it. I'm 60, and I think about it almost every day, if not every day. It is not a blessing, and I wish I hadn't done it. I wish, and I do think, I wonder, what would my child be like today if I had given my child a chance to make it? And they had no idea that they were selling body parts.
Yeah.
I had no idea of the history of the founder.
Right, Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist and a racist, wanted to create kind of a Hitler-esque perfect race in America. And get rid of the undesirables, if you will. So single mothers, don't allow those families. The poor, the black community was specifically targeted by Margaret Sanger. Yet they still give out Margaret Sanger awards. They are eugenicists. I mean, that's at the bottom line. They want they focus. If go figure out where your abortion clinics are in most of your cities and towns. Right. They're in the bad parts of town. There's a reason why. It's not because people with money don't have abortions. They do, but they push these free abortions that are, you know, subsidized on the poor because they believe that they shouldn't be having more children. I mean, that's the truth. And they want to do something about it. That's what eugenics is. And they want to create this better society and race through carrying that out. You are brave by calling in and sharing your stories, folks. I think this changes minds. Anybody listening right now who may be even thinking about making this decision or has a family member they're talking to thinking about this decision, you can be the difference because of telling your story of how it's affected you 40 plus years later in life. We can go keep going back to the phones again. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take another call, get some more info, and continue to take calls and comments.
That's right. Again, please give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Chuck said on Facebook, when people actually see what happens, they usually become pro-life. So a lot of statements like that coming in. People have asked about the funding of Planned Parenthood, funding of abortion providers. They keep said they keep hearing it's going to be cut, but what is actually the status on that?
All right, so Than, initially this was in the replacement and repeal of the Affordable Care Act that did not make its way through Congress because of a few senators, including Senator McCain, that Planned Parenthood would have been defunded. And we found out through Planned Parenthood's new report that their single largest funding source, 35% of their funds, come directly through government reimbursements and government funding. Over half a billion dollars, like $537 million, comes from the government. Their prenatal services have gone down 80% over the last decade or so. And basically, their abortion numbers remain right about the same in about the 320,000 abortions just in the U.S. They are the number one abortion provider in the U.S. But Than, there are still efforts in Congress. I mean, obviously the midterms will have an effect on this as well to get the defunding of Planned Parenthood done. But it is kind of like, the tax cut battle. It's one of those, I think, decades-long battles to get the kind of change here. And we've been fighting it, but it takes that long. And I know people are still working on it, and our audience is still encouraging the fight.
Oh, we're still talking about it every single day here on Capitol Hill, Jordan. And you talk about more than $500 million from U.S. taxpayers in funding. The vast majority of that comes through the Medicaid program. And the Obamacare repeal legislation that you're right, died in the Senate, would have stripped all of that funding away. And Jordan, on that one, that really lie at the feet of Senate Republicans who did not get that over the line. But I will tell you this, if Democrats in the United States Senate reflected the wishes of their voters, this would not have to go through a reconciliation package, because roughly two out of every three Americans from every political stripe do not want their funds to go for abortion, regardless of how they feel about the issue in general. They do not want to pay for it. So on the broader issue, it lies at the feet of both Republicans and Democrats to stop this funding. And again, Jordan, if they would reflect the will of their voters, you wouldn't have to go through a reconciliation package. You could get the 60 votes required for that. And the $544 million that goes through Planned Parenthood from the taxpayers, that could end this year.
All right, folks, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. We are fighting that battle. Next time that's around legislatively, then that would probably be, again, what kind of legislative package would include something like a defunding of Planned Parenthood?
Well, unless you get Democrat support, you're going to have to pass it again through a budget reconciliation measure. So that has to start with the budget process, which is underway right now, Jordan. You would have to enact a budget that has reconciliation instructions, and then those reconciliation instructions would probably be enacted later in the fall. So it starts now and moves through the fall, unless some Senate Democrats come on board and you can get to that 60-vote threshold. I'm just going to be very candid. That's not going to happen. It's going to have to be in the reconciliation package.
No. I mean, it's people like Joe Manchin, who plays the moderate in the U.S. Senate. He's got photos on of him holding pro-abortion signs, holding pro-life signs. But guess where? When it's voting time, he's voting pro-abortion. You know, he's pocketing the money. They may not love him in the abortion industry, but he's sure a lot better than having a real moderate pro-life a Democrat there, because he's not. He plays one verbally. He never votes as one. And I'm calling him out because he says a lot of the right things, never does the right things when it comes to actually voting. 1-800-684-3110. We have another segment coming up. In that segment, we focus on taking your phone calls and comments. That's what we do. We've gotten the information out for you. You can go to ACLJ.org, read Anna's blog. That's right on the front of the homepage at ACLJ.org. Abortion is not a sacred blessing. Share that on your social media platforms. It's on my Facebook page, twitter.com/JordanSeculo as well. So continue to share that, because it's got all this information. You can see the signs we've been talking about. You can see how Planned Parenthood has endorsed this campaign, and learn about our court cases as well that tie right into us, all in this blog at aclj.org.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they may open up. 1-800-684-3110. We'll also take some of those comments in the break. So if you're watching online, no, that's coming to get your comments in. Yep, hey, one line opened up. So if you have your voice, want to be heard, they'll probably pay some more. They'll open up 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. But again, give us a call. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. The blog is at aclj.org. The ads, Logan just ran through some of the 16 billboard messages that Ohio's biggest abortion provider is putting up around Cleveland, Ohio. Some of them, abortion is a blessing, abortion is sacred, abortion is a family value, abortion is hope, abortion is a second chance, abortion is liberty, abortion is health care, and this kicker, abortion is good medicine. Taking intentionally the life of a child is good medicine. Tell that to the people who drafted the Hippocratic Oath, where the doctor's focus is to save and protect life whenever possible. But let's go to the phones. That's what we do in this segment of the broadcast. Because, important to point out, in abortion, there's a 100% chance that a death will occur. In some surgeries, there's a 50% chance. They're trying to save your life, though. Right. There's a chance you may die. But you're going to die without that surgery. In abortion, it's 100% chance that a person will die. That baby will die 100%. There's sometimes, very few born alive where a botched abortion situation. There's even tough legislation on that we could get into where they try to say you could continue the abortion even after it didn't work and the child starts being born. So let's take the calls, though. People have been holding on.
All right, yeah, let's just go in order of those on hold. Tommy in Washington on line 5. Tommy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tommy.
Hello, from a proud member of the ACLJ.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. You know, something just occurred to me as I'm listening to the program this morning. It's such a strange thing to see Planned Parenthood, a very political organization, touting a religious angle in its billboards. Yep. And it just makes me wonder, do they see the writing on the wall, possibly, that abortion rights, so-called rights in America, their position, is weakening? And because of the work of the ACLJ and others, our constitutionally supported freedom of religion is being strengthened.
Yeah, it's, you know what I think, Tammy? They are. They do experience. Remember, when they won Roe versus Wade, for many decades, people just ignored the issue. It wasn't proper to talk about abortion, you know, at the table or on radio or in the news. And so they had won. I mean, no one talked about it. They got this great business where they were, you know, making money and totally unregulated at the federal or state level. And in fact, they were getting money from federal and state governments. And then people started wising up to what was happening. And I got to give a lot of credit to the Catholic Church who first spoke out about this. And then the Protestants came on board as well. And then it got past just religious people to the scientific community because the technology surrounding childbirth, the ultrasounds, the ability to see the growth of a child in the womb has changed and will be even increased 10, 20 years from now. I can't imagine what they're going to be able to show a couple having a child. So that, in fact, if you see the ultrasound, which, by the way, they try to prevent people from seeing today, you know it's a human being. It's not a grouping of cells. It's a human being. The person who died at this abortion clinic in Ohio was someone who was considered a late-term abortion. 19.4 weeks is what they called it. I mean, they came up with some number to keep it right under the line of probably being illegal in that state or needing different technology. That means you were five months into the pregnancy. Any of you who had a child recently or a grandchild and seen those pictures at 5 months know you are killing a child. A human being is in that womb. It's small, but it is there, and it is forming, and it is really starting to take shape at that point. And again, this abortion clinic out there brazenly with his ads has killed women through the abortion procedure.
All right, let's continue to take some calls. Let's go to Chris. Or no, what call? You want to go 4?
Let's go to 6.
6. All right, put Chris back on hold. Brittany in Jackson, Mississippi, you're on the air. Thanks.
Hi.
Hi, Brittany.
I wanted to share a little bit of information that I found out from my friend who had an abortion.
Yep.
And she opened up to me with details about that day. So she went through a breakup, and she was pretty far along, like 16 or 17 weeks, not even sure if she was pro-life, pro-abortion, never even thought much about it. But as we all know, pregnant women are emotional. And so she went through a breakup and within a day found herself already on her way to the abortion clinic. And then when they got there, they sedated her. And so she just remembers being extremely loopy. So they want you to not be able to back out at the last minute.
No.
And so I just can't get over. And she said she remembers even having somewhat of a feeling when she was walking in the building. There were some pro-life supporters outside, and it was raining, and they had umbrellas. And, you know, they were just trying. They weren't, like, yelling or anything, but they were just kind of looking at her like, please, you know, don't go in there. And they're on the other side of a fence. And so she was having some thoughts about backing out. Her heart was pounding, and then as soon as they get her in there, they want to go ahead and get you sedated.
Yep, and you know why, Brittany, they're able to do that? They're totally unregulated compared to most medical facilities. I mean, when they had to meet ambulatory care service centers to perform these procedures, they fought those in court and won because of the abortion distortion in courts. I mean, Than, that is the biggest issue, is that they get away with this kind of almost forced abortion. If you walk through the doors voluntarily, once you walk through the doors, they are pressuring you. I mean, you basically have to run out on your own. And sometimes it gets physical. That's in one of our documentaries where they try to hold the woman down and say, no, 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 you're making the wrong decision. Right. They get away with this because of the lack of regulation, or the regulations that have been held to be by our, you know, judges and judicial system is unconstitutional. We would never allow normal medical facilities to operate this way.
All right.
In so many cases, Jordan, it's like it's like an assembly line. That's why the abortion is safe slogan is so offensive. In that situation you talked about where the woman died in this clinic, Jordan, that clinic almost certainly did not have hospital admitting privileges because they have fought that requirement every step of the way. So if you're a woman that seeks an abortion and then is suffering and maybe dying, that clinic in many, many cases, Jordan, can't admit you to a hospital for life-saving care.
All right, let's take Chris.
Yep, let's go to Chris in Nevada. Thanks for holding, Chris.
Hi. Is any government money being used to fund the advertising campaign in Cleveland?
Yeah, I can't answer it 100%. Could be state funds. I don't know how Ohio's set up right now. They have pretty strict laws, but they're always in court about that. Federally, you would not be able to use the money that even goes to Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry from our taxpayer dollars to promote abortion. So these ads would not be able to be paid for by. But as you said, indirectly, keyword, absolutely. Because when you pay the biggest chunk of their budget through our taxpayer dollars, it allows them to have extra money on the side to put these ads up. So they can segregate and say, well, see, we used our money that we raised or made by doing abortions to put these ads up because we're getting $500+ million a year for everything else. So we've got the money around. So yeah, indirectly changing out dollars here, you are the reason why, we are the reason why as taxpayers, they have the resources to put these billboards up.
Absolutely. We do only have a minute left. Maybe we can take one last quick call. Let's go to Kimberly in Chesapeake, Virginia. Quick statement here, Kimberly.
Yes, I just want to say I am an advocate now for the CPC, and I just want to say that I had an abortion myself, and it's one of the things that I wish I'd never done. I was forced to do it, but it stayed with me mentally for 27 years later. But I want every listener to please, I plead and beg you to support the CBC in your area, mm-hmm. because women suffer from lack of knowledge and not knowing that they have other support systems there. They're thinking the one that's forcing them is all they have. But to know that there's so much more help out there, they need the funding to make that happen. So
they do. I go around the country raising money for those pregnancy centers. My dad does as well. And we also are fighting for them in court right now because, Kimberly, they're under attack. Many states are trying to force them to give abortion referrals. How sick is that? We're finding it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's how bold and aggressive the abortion industry is being. We're fighting back. Go to ACLJ.org. Read the blog. Share the blog. Abortion is not a sacred blessing. And share this show with your friends and family. We'll talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.